I'm here to introduce our speaker this afternoon. I know Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse number 15, he said, I am a debtor to preach the gospel. The next verse, he says, I'm a debtor to the Jews and to the Greek. He said, I am ready to preach the gospel. I'm ready to preach in Rome also. Then he said, I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. And I'm thankful that we have a brother here, Brother Bowen, who is not ashamed. He's ready, and he feels indebted to preach the gospel. I know that he has been here, and I've seen him as his mom, you know, training him and staying on top of him. And it's good to see, it encourages me that I need to study more, to see him grow in his faith. Encouragement to all of us to be able to sacrifice life here and the things that people love to give it over to God and let God direct him in his preaching. So I don't want to take up any more of his time. Brother Bowen, come preach the gospel.
Good afternoon. I'd like to first start by thanking everybody here for the support and the prayers and the well wishes. That really means a lot, and I can't even begin to thank each and every one of you personally. To start the lesson today, I'm going to ask you guys a question. What is the number one sickness that doctors do not check for? This sickness has no visible symptoms. In some, it isn't a cough or a rash or even a fever. A lot of people don't know they even have this sickness. This sickness has killed more people than tuberculosis, pneumonia, and malaria combined. If untreated, this sickness has a 100% kill rate. This sickness is sin. And although it isn't a bodily sickness, this sickness can kill your soul. Sin plagues every man, Romans 3:23. Luckily for everyone in this room, there is a cure. Yes, sir. But before I get there, I'm going to tell you more about what this sickness is, the forms this sickness takes, the punishment for leaving this sickness untreated, and lastly, the cure for it. To start, what is sin? Scripture portrays sin in terms of wrongness towards God and man. Please turn with me to Genesis 39:9. There is none greater in this house than I, neither have he kept anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness, and sin against God? This is Joseph talking to us because his master's wife has asked him to lay with him. And Joseph was, for lack of better words, one of the top servants who had everything but his master's wife. And he describes laying with her as a sin against God. Next, turn over with me to Exodus 10:16. A little background on this chapter. Moses and Aaron went up to Pharaoh to ask to be released, the people of Israel to be released from captivity. And although they went and told him that this was not their command, but God's command, Pharaoh was reluctant to let them go. Exodus 10:16 says, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. What was the punishment for this? Go up a couple more verses to verse 12. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thy hand over the land of Egypt, for locusts, they come and upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land and even all that hell left. And Moses stretched forth the rod in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought the east wind upon the land and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. the locusts went up and over the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt, very grievous, excuse me, where they, before them, there was no much locusts, as they neither after them shall be such. Before today, no man has seen a plague of locusts come through the city. Next, turn over me to 1 Corinthians 8:12. But when ye sin so against the brethren, wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. When you cause your brother or sister to stumble, ye also sin against Christ. Next, we're going to talk about the kinds of sin. First, the sin I'm going to talk about is the sin of omission. What is omission? An omission is a failure to do something, especially something that one has a moral or legal obligation to do. Turn over with me to James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him is sin. Which means if you know the difference between right and wrong, and you're still doing wrong, you are in sin. Next, turn over with me to Romans 1:32. The next sin I'm going to talk about is a deliberate sin. This is sin that is, you're just doing it just because. You knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So not only do you know what comes next after you sin, but you continue to do it, and you also gain pleasure in people that do them. We all have friends in the world. Will you let those friends in the world lead you to do what is wrong? Next, turn over with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 46. And let's go up one verse to verse 45. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day where he looketh for him not, and at an hour when he is not aware, and he will come in sunder, and will appoint him his portions with the unbelievers. This verse is Jesus describing to the apostles that no one knows when he will return. And he's describing a particular person that goes out and sins because Jesus may not be coming tomorrow or the day after, or maybe even the day after that. But you do not know that. We have all been children. And our parents have told us not to, say, play on the furniture. And your mother and father leave and go out, go to the store, and you don't know when they're coming back. But you go and you start jumping on the furniture. And they come in and catch you because you didn't know when they were coming back. But you were jumping on the furniture. And you can believe that you're getting into a lot of trouble. Next, we're going to talk about the unintentional sin. Turn over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that I counted me faithful, putting me into his ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. This is Paul talking to Timothy, revealing to him what he's done in the past, about how he was blasphemous and a persecutor, but he did it in ignorance. Next, turn with me to Acts chapter 3, verse 14. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And in his name, through faith, his name hath made this man, made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith by which it, in faith which is by him, hath given him this perfect sound in presence of all of you. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did this, as did also ye rulers. Through ignorance, they killed the Christ, unknowingly that he was the Christ. And through this, we get to the final kind of sin, and that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Turn over with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. This is the one sin in the Bible that Jesus said could not be forgiven. To go in depth on that, let's turn to Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 through 32. Wherefore ever I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Let's go up a couple of verses to Matthew 22. And we see that a man that was possessed by devils and who was blind and dumb, which is another word for being mute or unable to speak, was healed by Jesus. And the Pharisees heard it, and they said in verse 24, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Basically saying that Christ is of the devil. And Jesus knew their thoughts in verse 25 and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself cannot stand. Verse 26, Satan cannot cast out Satan. Now, to my third point, we're going to get to the punishment for your sins. Turn over with me to Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And here we see that the people of the land were building a tower to get closer to the heavens. There, at this time, everyone spoke one speech or the same language. And in chapter 6, the Lord said, behold, this people is one. They have all in one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Because they all spoke the same language, they all agreed to do the same thing. Verse 7, go, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And because of this, they went down, and now we all speak different languages, and we can no longer understand each other because of a language barrier. And the Lord scattered them abroad, in verse 8, upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Everyone scattered because of this language barrier and went and built their own cities, no longer to be together and no longer to sin together. Turn over with me to Genesis 19. And let's focus on verses 6 and 8. In this verse, we're in Sodom and Gomorrah, a land where we could say everyone did what they wanted, when they wanted, and how they wanted. And because of this, in verse 24, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from out of heaven. The Lord destroyed the entire city. And he overthrew those cities, all the plain and the inhabitants of the city, that which grew upon the ground. Because of their sin, and because of their constant sin, God destroyed them as a punishment. And lastly, let's go to Luke chapter 16, verse 23. We see an in-depth look as to what will happen to us now in the New Testament. Luke 16, a rich man entered the city, clothed in purple and linen, and fared sumptuously, every day. And a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at the gate full of sores, and he desired to be fed the crumbs which fell off the rich man's table. Not an entire meal, just the crumbs. And he couldn't even receive that. And time passes. The beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died also, and he was just buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that I may dip the tip of my finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So we can see that this is an endless flame that cannot be quenched. And this is awaiting for you if you do not get the cure for this sickness. We've seen what the sickness is, the form it takes, the punishment for leaving this sickness unchecked. Now we learn the cure for this sickness. I saw a commercial on TV one night where doctors, the best surgeons and doctors and people who diagnose sicknesses, come together and they try to figure out what particular affliction is harming a particular person. Do you think if they put sin on the board behind them, they would have the cure for that? There's one person who knows the cure for this sickness, and that one person is Jesus Christ. This is the same person in Luke 7:14 who raised someone from the dead. In Luke 17:13-14, healing a leper by just grabbing his hand. In Luke 8:43-45, healing a woman who just touched his garment. Do you know him? Do you know how to get to know him? Well, first, hearing his word Romans 10:17. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, John 3:16. Repenting of your sins, being baptized, Mark 16:16, and live your life faithfully until death, Revelation 2:10. Also, if you are part of the Lord's body and you wish for the prayers of the saints, you may also come up as we together stand and sing the invitation song. What?